Let's turn in our Bibles now in God's Word to Leviticus chapter 11. And in chapter 11, we're going to be reading, we're going to be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 47. Leviticus 11, verses 1 through 47, the whole chapter. God's people, hear now the word of the Lord, starting in verse 1. The Lord spoke again to Moses and to Aaron, saying to them, "Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, these are the creatures which you may eat from all the animals that are on the earth. Whatever divides a hoof, thus making split hoofs, and chews the cud among the animals that you may eat. Nevertheless, you are not to eat of these among those who chew the cud, or among those which divide the hoof, the camel, for though it chews the cud, it does not divide the hoof, it is unclean to you. Likewise the shefan, for though it chews cud, it does not divide the hoof, it is unclean to you. The rabbit also, for though it chews cud, it does not divide the hoof, it is unclean to you. And the pig, for though it divides the hoof, thus making a split hoof, it does not chew cud, it is unclean to you. You shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their carcasses, they are unclean to you. These you may eat, whatever is in the water, all that have fins and scales, those in the water, in the seas, or in the rivers you may eat. But whatever is in the seas and in the rivers that does not have fins and scales, among all the teeming life of the water, and among all the living creatures that are in the water, they are detestable things to you. And they shall be abhorrent to you. You may not eat of their flesh, and their carcasses you shall detest. Whatever in the water does not have fins and scales is abhorrent to you. These, moreover, you shall detest among the birds. They are abhorrent, not to be eaten. The eagle, and the vulture, and the buzzard, and the kite, and the falcon, and its kind, every raven and its kind, and the ostrich, and the owl, and the seagull, and the hawk and its kind, and the little owl, and the cormorant, and the great owl, and the white owl, and the pelican, and the carrion vulture, and the stork, the heron in its kind, and hoopoe, and the bat. All the winged insects that walk on all fours are detestable to you. Yet these you may eat among all the winged insects which walk on all fours, those which have above their feet jointed legs with which to jump on the earth. These of them you may eat, the locust and its kind, and the devastating locust and its kind, and the cricket and its kind, and the grasshopper and its kinds. But all other winged insects which are four-footed are detestable to you. By these, moreover, you will be made unclean. Whoever touches their carcasses becomes unclean until evening. And whoever picks up any of their carcasses shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. Concerning all the animals which divide the hoof, but do not make a split hoof, or which do not chew cud, they are unclean to you. Whoever touches them becomes unclean. Also, whatever walks on its paws among all the creatures that walk on all fours are unclean to you. Whoever touches their carcasses becomes unclean until evening. And the one who picks up their carcasses shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. They are unclean to you. Now these are to you the unclean among the swarming things which swarm on the earth, the mole and the mouse and the great lizard and its kinds, and the gecko and the crocodile and the lizard and the sand reptile and the chameleon. These are to you the unclean among all the swarming things. Whoever touches them when they are dead becomes unclean until evening. Also, anything on which one of them may fall when they are dead becomes unclean, including any wooden article or clothing or skin or a sack, any article of which use is made, it shall be put in the water and be unclean until evening, then it becomes clean. As for any earthenware vessel into which one of them may fall, whatever is in it becomes unclean, and you shall break the vessel. Any of the food which may be eaten on which water comes shall be unclean, shall become unclean, and any liquid which may be drunk in every vessel shall be unclean. Everything, moreover, on which part of their carcass may fall becomes unclean. An oven or stove shall be smashed. They are unclean and shall continue as unclean to you. Nevertheless, a spring or a cistern collecting water shall be clean, though the one who touches their carcass shall be unclean. If a part of their carcass falls on any seed for sowing, which is to be sown, it is clean. Though if water is put on the seed and a part of their carcass falls on it, it is unclean to you. Also, if one of the animals dies which you have for food, the one who touches its carcass becomes unclean until evening. He too who eats some of its carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening, and the one who picks up its carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. Now every swarming thing that swarms on the earth is detestable, not to be eaten. Whatever crawls on its belly, and whatever walks on all fours, whatever has many feet, in respect to every swarming thing that swarms on the earth, you shall not eat them, for they are detestable. Do not render yourselves detestable through any of the swarming things that swarm, and you shall not make yourselves unclean with them, so that you become unclean. For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. And you shall not make yourselves unclean with any of the swarming things that swarm on the earth. For I am the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt to be your God. Thus you shall be holy, for I am holy. This is the law regarding the animal and the bird and every living thing that moves in the waters and everything that swarms on the earth, to make a distinction between the unclean and the clean, and between the edible creature and the creature which is not to be eaten. Those are God's words. So here before us gives us the allowable animals to be eaten by Israel, clean animals, that is, and those that are not to be eaten by Israel, the unclean. You might ask why the Lord was so particular with the nation of Israel about what His people eat and what they are not to eat. And the answer is very clear. It is about holiness. That His people are not to be like everyone else, like all the nations, but they are to worship Him in accordance with His commands, and therefore be distinct, that is, set apart or holy. And that goes to how they worship. We find here what they are to eat in the ceremonial law, which has to do with worship. And worship here had to do also with what was clean and unclean amongst the animals. So Israel is commanded here laws concerning the eating of flesh of the beasts through verse 8. Laws for fish through verse 12, for birds verse 19, flying insects through verse 28, and then all other insects verse 43. And so then we ask again the question, why is it this way? Verse 44 and 45 tell us, "For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves therefore to be holy, for I am holy." And verse 45, "For I am the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt to be your God. Thus you shall be holy, for I am holy. I brought you out of a nation, a wicked nation, to make you my people, to make you a nation by yourself under my authority as your king. And you are to be set apart. You are to be different from Egypt. You are to be different from Edom. You are to be different from all the other nations." And so these laws under the new covenant now, that is today, are no longer applying to us as they were for the nation of Israel only. That is in the very particulars, what you are to eat and what you are to not eat. And that was part of the determination of the Jerusalem Council, which is like our synod will be, and presbytery, what they do, they determine what God says in His Word and what He has shown through the gospel. And that's what the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15 did. They said, Gentiles, what they eat, Jews, you all in the church, you can eat these things now. They were no longer unclean. However, beloved, this serves to us, the church today, still applies that we are to be holy. We are to be separate from the world as the church, as God's people. And therefore, we see in the New Testament the same distinction being made, not between food, but between the clean and unclean, right? That is, what the Gentiles practiced in their sin was unclean. All their immoralities and their lustful desires and all those things, the list that we have in Romans and Galatians and other places. Those were unclean. And so that Gentile immorality, that worldly immorality, that's unclean. Set yourself apart from the world, the unclean, and those immoralities, and be clean, be holy and righteous. Other things we see is that now the Gentiles are allowed to come into the worship of God, right? Which most of us are Gentiles. The unclean has been made clean, in other words. And those who are clean are able to come before the very throne of God. And so separate yourselves, therefore, from all sinfulness and be clean in Christ, avoiding immorality and sin. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful for what we learn here in Leviticus and how it applies to us today. It applies even still more. There's many other ways that the clean and unclean distinction we see in the Scriptures and especially in the New Testament and how it applies to us today. We pray that you would give us understanding in these things, that we would no longer be like the world, but that we would put to death our sin and come out from among the world and be your people who are set apart and holy, so that we appear different to those of the world, that we act differently than the world and we live differently than the world. Father, may we be a shining light amongst the darkness, or a light on a hill. Father, we thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're thankful that worship today is, you have made in Christ to be much more simple. It is very simple. We have the reading and preaching of your word and the praying of your word, the singing of your word, the seeing of your word and the sacraments and the feeling of them. Father, we thank you for this. And that where it's very clear what we are to do in worship. Whereas there were, in the past, before Christ, your Son, came and died on the cross for our sins, there was in those temple and tabernacle, the tent of meeting worship, many, many, many laws that we're going through here in Leviticus. And we're thankful that we are not under them, Father. And yet we do realize that those things were showing forth heavenly realities that we look to in Christ now and look forward to seeing them, whatever they may be, in glory, Father. Father, we also are thankful that though we are sinners, at the right time Christ died for us. That we who believe in Him may have everlasting life. We pray that everyone here, every child, every adult, would profess your name before the church and before you. That they would claim Christ as theirs and know that Christ claims of them that we are His as the bride of Christ. Father, bless your people. Father, we ask that you would heal our souls. We have much sin remaining in our hearts. And Father, we need your covering. We need the blood to cleanse us of Christ. And so, Father, we ask that you would help us to continue coming back to Christ and the gospel every day as we contemplate our sin and examine ourselves. We pray that we would be about the duty of putting to death our sin that we're going to be studying again this morning. Father, help us to do this by your Holy Spirit. Put within us the fruit of the Spirit and grow us by your grace and mercy. And then, Father, we pray not only for our spiritual health, but our physical health, that you would strengthen our weak bodies and frail bones and muscles and grant to us the ability to serve you and to serve you well without having to worry about our bodies or our financial situation, but that we would be great servants to you and to the church. Father, we do pray for Jeannie's knee and Dina and her dizziness and her adrenals. We ask that you would heal their bodies. And then, Father, we're thankful that you have upheld all of us thus far, no matter our situation in our bodies, and that you've brought us to a better place each day of our lives. We're thankful for just a couple days ago, Lillian's becoming a citizen here in this nation. Though we ought not to exult in our nation, for our nation continues to defy you and continues to rebel against Christ and not bow the knee but scoff at you. Father, we pray that you would, in this situation, however, still bless Lillian, that she would have, and her family, that she has citizenship now, that you would grant to her ease and doing various things in this country, Father. Father, we pray that you would also turn our nation to you. Otherwise, we know that judgment will come. And we've seen some judgment this week from the hurricane and on the East Coast. And Father, we pray for those of your people there and their homes, of churches, people that we may know, and even churches that we do know about, and even the Greenville Seminary that we've prayed for many times. Thankful that there has been no damage to the seminary, but we do know that a few, at least of my pastor friends, having damage to their homes or churches, even possibly today, floodwaters flooding at least one church. And so, Father, we pray that you would protect that church and protect their homes and their property that you've granted to them. And in the time where there is cutting of trees and clearing of roads and yards and work that needs to be done there, we pray that you would give your children a mentality of hard work, but also of proclaiming the gospel. Because what a great time there is to proclaim the gospel in the midst of a judgment from you upon our nation and upon wicked sinners. To call them to yourself, lest they come under the great and final judgment that is to come. Now, Father, send your Spirit, and may you give, in the many opportunities that there are, give boldness to your children. And Father, make us just as bold and speaking your word. Father, as we continue in worship, we ask that you would help us. You would keep us focused upon you and not distracted. And these things we pray for your glory and your praise. In Jesus' name, amen.